Welcome to Workshop Wednesdays with Tony Gambone, where you will learn how to build your business and take it to the next level. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
All right, welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and it is Wednesday. Most of us know it as Hump Day. I like to think that this part of Wednesday, the morning, is to climb up the mountain, get over that big hump. So what is it that you're doing today that is getting you up in that forward motion, going uphill to conquer your list, your journey, your to-do list, you know, your to-dos for today? I know that every day when you get up, you have a list. You're supposed to. You're supposed to write it down the night before, or maybe the day before. Carry it over. Keep going at the end of the week. You probably have three extra pieces of paper that you can get nothing done with. So I know that because I live that. As an entrepreneur, a solopreneur, it's really hard sometimes to let go of the control. And, you know, it's part of our personality. That's if you're a solopreneur, an entrepreneur, if you work for yourself, okay, you have control issues because that's your personality. Or you would go work for someone else and let them have control of everything. So let me just say something here. This show is focused towards business owners, but remember what I tell you every week. I believe, excuse me, that everyone is in business, whether they're in the corporate world, if they work for Walmart, if they're a parent, if they're a student, it doesn't matter. We're all in the business of life. We all have to make sure that our business is straight all the time. So, you know, every week I talk a little bit about the word gamble. 20 years in the casino industry has gotten me down a path that I never thought I would recognize the way I do now. Much like some of the people out there, they've taken their journey through life, and they are now where they are supposed to be, but had no clue that's their journey from the beginning, because we all set out with a different mindset when we're younger. And as we grow older, we learn things, experience things, and we start shifting. So I started speaking off the word gamble. A lot of my listeners know that I use this word for growth, accountability, marketing, belief, leverage, and enjoyment. And I speak about that, I pick a word every week. Well, as I've been going through trying to write some new topics to speak about, I took my last name. Now, I don't know if anyone out there has ever tried to do this, okay, but some of the letters in the word that I speak off of gamble are in my last name, Gambone. So let's take the acronym of Gambone: growth, accountability, marketing, belief, opportunity, networking, and enjoyment. Okay, so I speak on gambling a lot, but I also run networking groups, and I also speak about networking opportunities. So when I seen how my last name fit in there, let me explain something, folks. I'm not a genius. It just popped up in front of me. It was like it blinked at me, and I caught it by accident, because I am not that person that knows how to take words and turn them into acronyms for certain things. That's probably my weakest point. But my point to this conversation is that you need to be looking at what's around you, because we're always looking to purchase something new to be better with than what we already have to be better with. So I want to talk about opportunity, okay? Because opportunity is something that we always are looking for, but most of us are too blind to see what's at our feet. Because a lot of things that we have in our hands that drop and fall to our feet because we didn't take action on it, because we weren't patient enough, because we wanted too much control of it, whatever it may be, it's at your feet. And we all know that you can keep on purchasing new things all the time to try to gain better at whatever it is you're trying to be better at. But the truth of the matter is we give up way too quickly on what it is that we have at our feet. So I want to make sure that everybody takes the time out today to write down the word opportunity and look at the opportunities that you provide, I want to say that again, that you provide for other people. Because, look, let's get down to the bare facts. It's not about you. And if it is, you're creating the wrong opportunity. So figure out what it is that you're doing. What opportunity are you providing for others? Your children, your spouse, your coworkers, your employees, your clients, your prospects. What is it that you're doing? Are you going out there trying to sell who you are, what you have for everybody that's going to save the world? Are you out there trying to sell how you could help someone else? In today's market, marketing has changed so much. Okay, people don't want to see you beating on your chest and telling everybody how great you are. What they want to know is exactly what you want to know. At the end of the day, what's in it for me? Now, is that an unusual request? Well, you're not supposed to say it out loud, but reality says it is what it is. And we want to know if we're going to spend money, spend time, what are we going to get from it? So I don't have anything special than anybody else. I didn't create all this topic that we talk about every week. It's been out there for years. Actually, it was kind of written way back 2,000 plus years ago in the Bible. You reap what you sow. Zig Ziglar says you could help everybody get what you want if you or you can get everything. Let's see, how do they say? You can get everything that you need if you help everybody else get what they want. So I'm not creating this, but I am telling you the experience that I've had is I've gotten a lot more by helping others, and I've gotten a lot less by putting myself first. And if you know if you're married, try that out in your relationship, how that goes if you put yourself before your spouse. If you're a parent, see how that works if you put yourself before your children. It might feel good for a moment, but you're going to pay for it later. And how about if you're an employee, a corporate executive, or a business owner, and you're only worried about you? Well, you are going to be the only one that stands in place because no one else will be around you. So think about opportunity that you can provide for others so you can benefit from what you want to do every day. Now, look, I'm just saying that's my tip of the week, okay? Write down the word opportunity and decide what kind of opportunity you're going to provide for others, and think about what kind of opportunities you're providing for yourself. So I want to just leave it at that. You can call in 347-989-1363, okay, because I can go on and on about the word opportunity, but you've already stopped listening because you're writing down the word opportunity. Make sure you're spelling it right and defining what opportunity you're providing for others. 347-989-1363, you can call into the show. We love questions. We love comments. We love complaints. We love to hear from everybody so we can better ourselves every day. Every Wednesday, 10:30 to 11:30 Central Standard Time, Workshop Wednesday comes on to help promote people out there doing great things. Now, we do like to find out who they are, where they're from, and what made them crazy enough to continue doing what they do, because as a person, a business owner, parent, spouse, whatever you are, you know that every day is not a great, happy journey. There's always struggles, detours, potholes, you name it, we incur it. And if you're not incurring those types of things, you are not living right. You need to get out there more. I used to think when people said, I'm living the dream, that they had a great, easy life. Well, that's not necessarily true. Living the dream to me means I'm experiencing everything that everybody else is. I'm in the race of life, and I need to make sure that I pay attention to what's going on today around me so I can help someone else later. I hope that everyone stays tuned. We're going to take a commercial break. We're going to come back. We've got a great show lined up today. We got my first guest is Ronald Joseph Clue. And, talking pre-show, I found out a little bit of information that I always do. But I know a lot of people out there heard of Chef Tell, who passed away a few years ago. And, Ronald is relationship to Chef Tell and has written his biography. And so when I was printing up the show, I didn't know all that, and I could cheat. I could start in at the beginning of the week and learn all that information, but I'm not going to be as excited as you are when you find out about Ronald Joseph Clue. My second guest of the show today is a couple who have a company called Money Facts, Holly Thompson and Marlon Daniel, so it's some great information about that as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. Let me give you a little bit of housekeeping. TuffTalkRadioNetwork.com. You can find the whole list of shows that are produced through the Tough Talk Radio Network. You can find different hosts, different shows. You can register to be a guest. We're always looking for guests that bring value, not sales, but value to the show, okay? We don't run an infomercial station here. What we do run is an opportunity. There's that word. Try to use it a couple times today. An opportunity for others to be marketed through our network of listeners. You can always become a guest on Workshop Wednesdays by going to workshop-wednesdayswithanes.com. Learn more about us. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and I'll give you some more information on social media, how you can find us. But we're going to come back after this break with our first guest. So stay tuned. Don't go away. And make sure you wrote down the word opportunity. We'll be right back.
Have you been feeling tired, having trouble managing your emotions, or just feeling out of sorts? The problem could be your vitamin supplement. There is a big difference between synthetic and natural vitamins. Synthetic vitamins do not contain all of the substances that naturally occur in nature. Natural whole food vitamins provide all of the factors necessary to help you maintain or regain your health. For more information, please contact Dr. Alan Simberg at alansimberg.com.
Join Judy Hoberman on her radio show, Selling in a Skirt, Mondays at noon central, for exciting discussions about challenges for women in today's society. The talk is about women in business, work and life balance, leadership, and current events related to gender communication. Be prepared to be inspired, motivated, and challenged. Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on the Tough Talk Radio Network is your connection to women nationally, internationally, and globally. So get comfy and see what the buzz is all about. Listen live on Mondays at noon by going to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back to Workshop Wednesdays. My name is Tony Gambone, the host of the show, and if you need to call into the show today, it's 347-989-1363. Find us on Facebook. You can find us on Facebook under Tough Talk Radio Network or Tony Gambone or Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. You can email us at info@toughtalkradionetwork.com. We'd like to hear from you, so we'll be looking for it. My first guest today is a man named Ronald Joseph Clue, and Ron is, he was in the sales industry for, I'll tell you how long. He was there. He was good enough and could afford to travel to 35 countries, and in 17 countries, including China and Russia. He's delivered a number of seminars, fundraising events, and speaking engagements. And through the years, his poetry, his short stories and newspaper articles are found public in publications here and there, and in between, he trained in acting in L.A., Academy of Dramatic Arts under Fred Cook, and drawing and painting at Mission Renaissance Art Academy under Larry Cluck, and, this goes on and on. His screenwriting, this gentleman has done a lot of things, and one of the things I'm excited about that he has taken the time out to be a guest on our show. So, Ronald, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tony. I'm a pleasure to be here.
Okay, Ronald, I mentioned before the show started, we're going to talk a little bit about who you are and where you're from, and you gave me some information, and I know I have a bunch of stuff in the bio, but that would take me all day, and the interview would be over to read it. Tell us a little bit about where you're calling in from right now.
Well, I'm sitting in my home office in Clearwater, Florida, and it hasn't quite gotten too humid yet this year, so it's really beautiful outside today. And I just want to clear up one thing. My last name is pronounced Kule. It's K-U-L-E. So, and I'll tell you a little bit about that if you'd like to know a little bit how that came to be.
Yes, sir. Please. I do apologize. I thought about when you told me your last name, how cool is that? And then I went and I tried to say it like it was spelled. So go ahead, please.
That's totally okay, Tony. It happens all the time. My great-grandfather and his wife, my two great-grandparents, were immigrants from Poland through Ellis Island in New York. They came to the United States a long time ago. My dad was therefore part of an Polish-American family that were coal miners, and he was stationed in the Secret Service, in the Selective Service, in South America. So he was decoding and encoding messages directly with FDR and the Chief of the Navy at that time for the Pacific Fleet. At that time, he also met my mother, who was a debutante, a wealthy parents from Chile and Colombia. So I think I'm probably the only Polish-Colombian that will ever be on your show. And the family name was Sikulski, and my father and his brothers had the Navy cut the name down to K-U-L-E. So they were always the cool skis, and I was always cool. How bad is that?
Well, I would imagine that going through school, it was kind of cool having that name.
At times it was cool, but many people mispronounced it, and they called me Kule, like in mule. So, you know, I had my amount of ribbing as I was coming up through the schools, and I like to tell people now that I'm kind of flat on it. You can make any jokes you want to about my name, and it's just going to be ducks, like water off a duck's butt.
Well, you have an extensive background in sales. Let's talk about that. I mean, you graduated high school, you just went into sales. I mean, how did that take place?
Well, after I went to high school at Bishop Egan High School in Bristol, PA, which is the home of the Bristol Stomp, if people remember that, I then went to Oakland University, which was considered the Harvard of the Midwest at the time, in Rochester, Michigan. And I was studying philosophy there and ethnology, which is a part of archaeology, which is the study of cultures and the past history of men. And then from there, I went to New York City. And I was working there and studying more, and I was working as a model there. And then one day a friend of mine said, I'm taking my VW bug to California. You want to come? So I cashed my check, quit my job, hopped in the car, and we took off for California. And I arrived in California in Los Angeles with $1.26 in my pocket, not much to start with. I was 23 years old at the time. And some guy came up to me and said, would you like to come out and work on my sales crew? I said, what do you mean? They were selling dry cleaning coupon books door-to-door, discount books. And I said, how do you pay? And he said, straight commission. I had no idea what that was. And he said, well, what's that? He said, well, if you sell a book, you get paid some money. I said, what if I don't sell anything? He said, you don't get paid anything. And I said, I can't do that. And he killed me with his closing question because he said, how much money have you got in your pocket? What have you got to lose? And so I said, well, hardly anything. So he said, come out on the crew. I sold 3 books the first day, made $1.50, but I had a feeling that I knew I could do this. Next thing you know, within a few weeks, I had a crew of 8, which became a crew of 22. And now I was a salesman, sales manager. And that was the start of my career. And all along, since I was 6 years old, I've been writing, wanting to do writing as my main career. It was my dream. So you could say after 39 years of sales that my dream was supported by a sales management, sales training career, and that brings us to today.
So, Ronald, you know, I think that, you know, in my earlier life, I worked in the casino business, and I stood behind a table that, you know, to deal cards or dice or roulette, whatever it was, and I now know that I was selling the whole time as well, and I think that people every day, whether they're in sales or not, they're selling, and they just never recognize that. And much like yourself, you went through a series of things to support yourself and get down the road of the way we were supposed to do things, and now you have the opportunity to really do what you're passionate about. And if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you, how old are you now?
Now I'm 67.
57 and starting, and you're starting a whole new life again.
Yeah, I started it back in 2009 when I just decided to hang up my Road Warrior shoes. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I have no idea if we're going to end up homeless or whatever, but I really feel like I have to follow my dream at this point and put my neck out there as a writer. And so my opportunity was staring me in the face, and I just took it.
Right. And, you know, I believe that we're up at the plate every day. It's just a matter of whether we want to swing the bat and hit the defense, or do we just want to stand there and watch it go by. So credit to you for that. I think that people, you know, I'm going on 58 this year, so I'm a couple years behind you, but I think that generation of boomers really need to understand that if you do take that step off of the safe step and just out into the real world, it really is an opportunity that will allow you to go 20, 30 more years.
Correct. And it's interesting that you brought up the idea of a baseball analogy of stepping up to the plate, because in 2009, when I made that decision to just go for it as a writer, I happened to meet through another acquaintance a guy named J. David Miller. It turned out to be a 13-book. He had 13 books published. He's an award-winning journalist, sports journalist. And we met, and we found out we were both writers, and we kind of hit it off. And I knew that he had this book for the Carolina Gamecocks baseball program history that he was supposed to write, but he was 3 years behind in writing it. He confessed to me that he was a football guy, not really a baseball guy. So I heard that, and I liked him. And after a little bit, I told him, I said, David, you know, I would be willing to get down on my knees and brush with a toothbrush your floor to learn some of the things you've learned in writing for 30 years. And he said, well, I'll make you my research assistant on this baseball book. So I started writing some stuff along with my research and sending it to him. And he said, Ron, I knew you'd be good, but I didn't think you'd be this good. I'm going to make you the co-author. So anyway, we ended up writing a book called Carolina Baseball, Pressure Makes Diamonds, for Ray Tanner, who was the coach then. Now he's the athletic director of the University of South Carolina Gamecocks. And the purpose of the book was to help him and his foundation to create what's called the Miracle League Field. There's a whole organization called Miracle League Ballparks. And these are ballparks that are for handicapped kids, physically handicapped kids, who love baseball, and it's a way for them to play baseball. So he wanted to build a ballpark like this in Columbia, South Carolina, right near the Carolina Stadium where the Gamecocks play. And our book is helping to, all the sales from that book help to fund and build that stadium or that ballpark for the kids. So that was my first introduction to really getting my career going. And then there was the story of my brother-in-law, Chef Tell, whom you mentioned.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. I mean, I love the baseball story, and, you know, if anybody watches the College World Series, they'll recognize the team you're talking about, okay, because they're always up in there. They're a great ball club. But I just think it's really important to point out one thing before we go to Chef Tell's story, okay? What you did was ask someone if you could help them. And what turned out of that, like I talked about in my monologue, was if you help others, things will show up for you. So you were just trying to learn about writing. You became titled as the co-author of a book. So great things come when you help others. Great job on that deal.
Thank you. It's totally correct. I mean, that was my intention was, yeah, I wanted to learn things from him, but it's always been my philosophy to deliver more than what's expected from me. One of the ways to do that is to help others. That's one of the reasons why I write sales training books, to turn over what I've learned works and what's been successful for me. And fortunately, I've had the opportunity to do that through my books and my workshops that I do.
Okay, so Chef Tell was your wife's brother?
He was I'm one of eight kids. I'm the only one born down in Bogota, Colombia, where my mother's from. And he was married to one of my sisters, and they were together for 26 and a half years. So he was my brother-in-law that way.
And so did he ever cook for you?
Oh, man, I'm glad you asked, because that's the reason why. That's what motivated me to write his book. I was traveling a lot on the road with my sales career, so I didn't really have a one-on-one relationship with Chef Tell. I mean, he was just a part of the family, but most of the rest of my family knew him very well. Well, one day, my sister who he married was Bunny Cool, you know, her married name, Bunny Earhart. And I was at her house. I was on a business trip. I spent the night with her. Of course, Chef Tell was working late, and I went to sleep before he came in. And then as I was getting up early to head out on the road, Chef Tell was already home and up, because chefs get up early. And I came downstairs to leave the house. I saw him, and he said, "I make breakfast for you." This is a 6'3", 250-pound German-American chef. I'm only 6 feet, 176 when wet. And he said, "I make breakfast for you." I said, "No, Chef Tell, you don't have to make breakfast for me." He says, he insisted, "I make breakfast for you." Well, okay, when he insisted, I said, okay, make breakfast. He was already cooking frittata, so he says, "I hope you like frittata," which is like an omelet with vegetables. And we sat down, and for the first and only time in his lifetime, we had a 45-minute over breakfast, one-on-one conversation about anything that came up. And what happened, Tony, was I ended up feeling this special feeling, like he had made me special in his life, as if I was the only person that mattered. And it just lingered, that feeling. I went, holy cow, this guy can, there's something special about him. I later found out when I was researching his life that he had cooked for JFK, Queen Elizabeth, Princess Margaret, a slew of celebrities, and yet he made me feel like I was the most important person in his life for 45 minutes. And honestly, that was the thing that inspired me, that when he passed away and my sister asked me to write the eulogy, which went well, I then waited a few years to see if anybody would write his story, and nobody did. And I just said, you know, Bunny, I just have this feeling that I need to write this book. So she gave me permission.
You know, it's just, we couldn't have scripted this, Ron, because, I mean, it just points out that if you spend time with people, learn who they are, talk to them, hear what they're saying, there's a connection that builds in there that's just, you know, I mean, you were in sales, and I'm sure when you started in sales, it was, there was no internet, you know, you could do the cold call, but the routine was the knock on the door, and, you know, the cold calling there was walking in cold, and you had to build a relationship, and, you know, you might have went in a route and came back around and seen people a few times before you even got to selling them anything. It was just the process. Now everything's a quicker world that we live in. But the same principle still stands, that if you take the time out to learn who you're talking to, there's a connection there that's unexplainable, but it keeps you tied to it. Otherwise, why would you remember them? So, I mean, I got to point out a couple things. If you go to the website, Cool Books, K-U-L-E, books.myshopify.com. So myshopify.com. Okay, you'll find all this information. You'll find it on Facebook. You'll find it on Twitter. You'll find it on LinkedIn. I posted it everywhere. But the book Chef Tell, okay, started all the television madness about chefs. Regis Philbin tagged this book. He's on the cover. The foreword's written by him and another chef. This is incredible. I mean, this is something that you just did because you wanted to tell his story, and this is something I've been telling people for a long time. If you just tell your story, you don't know. I mean, did you know that Regis Philbin, that you were even going to meet him, let alone he was going to write the foreword in the book? How did that happen?
Well, it's interesting that you asked that, because I've actually never met Regis in person, but I knew that he was, from my research, a good friend of Chef Tell's. Chef Tell was probably probably appeared on the Live with Regis and Kathy Lee show and later the Live with Regis and Kelly show more than any other chef, and they had become close friends. So I knew that I wanted to interview him, and I got a connection through Bunny to the producer who was assigned to Chef Tell the first time he was going to be on the Live show. And she then got me a connection to Regis's assistant. So I've never actually talked to Regis, but through his assistant, I was able to ask, would you please write, because I knew you were friends, at least a little blurb about Chef Tell. So he sent me back this about three or four sentences, which was very nice, very gracious of him. So then I wrote back to him and I said, gee, Regis, thank you very much for that. May I use it any way that I can in relationship to the book? And so he wrote back again for his assistant, sure, any way that you like. So then I wrote back and I thanked him for that. And I said, by the way, is there any way that you would actually wish to write the foreword for the book? I mean, having Regis Philbin write the foreword, you know, could mean quite a bit of sales for me. So he wrote back and he said, I'm really busy, so if you do a little bit of the writing, which is something that's done all the time, I mean, chefs, if you see a chef book, they're in the kitchen writing, cooking all the time. They're not going to write a book. So I wrote the foreword for Regis, and then I sent it back, and he changed anything he wanted to change, and that's how the foreword came to be. And then when I met Chef Walter Stabe through an interview, Chef Walter Stabe is also a four-time Emmy-winning host. He has a series on PBS called A Taste of History, and he was a close friend of Chef Tell's. And if you talk with him, he sounds exactly like Chef Tell. They're both German-Americans. And so Chef Walter allowed me to write a foreword for him, which he then corrected too. And so that's how I got two forewords from two Emmy-winning TV hosts on my book.
Yeah, awesome. You know, Ronald, we're running out of time, but one of the points I just want to make to people is everybody always says, well, I don't know how to do this, and I don't know how they did that. And what I'm getting from this here is with the baseball book that you helped write and became co-author, you asked. And with Regis and this other chef, you asked. So if people out there are wondering how they can get forward in their day, how they can better take advantage of things in their path, try asking. You'd be amazed that people out there with big names, little names, any name, are all wanting to help others. All you have to do is ask them. So let everybody know how they can get in touch with you. I'm going to have you back on the show because there's just a ton of information, and I'm really, really impressed with the fact that at the young age of 67, you have reinvented yourself into another world of opportunity. There's that word again we were using from the beginning of the show, and how important it is that people can learn from that. So tell everybody how they can find you, and I want to know if you have I know there's a lot of books, but is there a new book coming out?
Well, okay, first of all, how to reach me, my name is Ronald Joseph Kuhle, K-U-L-E, and my email, if they'd like to do that, is through my publishing company, Kuhle Books, LLC, that's K-U-L-E-B-O-O-K-S-L-L-C, @gmail.com. You can put my name in a Google search, Ronald Joseph Kuhle, and you'll see my connections to my other blogs. I also have a blog on Chef Tell, which is called cheftellgoodies.com. I do have three biographies that are lined up, and one of them is about a well-known jazz musician and film composer who is alive. Another one is about a late, who has passed away, illustrator, French illustrator, and then I have some fiction books that I have coming out. And I'd love to come back on your show. We do have a lot that we haven't covered here.
Yeah, we do. I mean, you lived in Bristol, Pennsylvania. Well, I grew up in Norristown, Pennsylvania, so you know that area. That's not too far away from each other. So there's a lot of things
that
we do have in common as well. So, well, I appreciate your time today. And as unfortunate as it is, it always goes quickly. But we will have you back on. I'll reach out to you after this, you know, offline, and we'll get something set up for another show.
Thank you, Tony. I really appreciate the opportunity. It's been a blast.
Thank you, sir. You have a great day. Okay, folks, we're gonna take a commercial break. We're going to come back with my second half of the show with my guest, Holly Thompson and Marlon Daniels. We're going to talk about money facts. Okay, what does that mean? Stay tuned. You'll find out. And remember, the word of the day is opportunity. Write it down and figure out what kind of opportunities you're providing for the people around you. It's not about you. It's about the people around you. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio media where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. Gambone.com.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Sism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits, with Michelle Sism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
Okay, welcome back to Workshop Wednesdays, and we just had an incredible interview with Ronald Joseph Kuhl, K-U-L-E, Ronald Joseph Kuhl. And, you know, it's amazing, at the age of 67, he is just beginning another journey in his life, and he's just hitting it out of the park. So make sure to check him out, Kuhl, K-U-L-E, publishing.com. You can find him, LLC. Google his name, Ronald Joseph Kuhl, and follow along with him, learn more about him. He's going to be back on the show and has done some incredible books. My next guests, are two of, lately they've become two of my favorite people. These are two people from the Houston area that I had the pleasure of meeting, and I'm going to say we started talking a couple months ago, maybe a little bit longer than that, on the telephone, have had face-to-face sit-downs, and they now have been part of our networking group, and, their upcoming radio host. They're going to be bringing their own show to the Tough Talk Radio Network, which we're real excited about that. But there are two people that went to high school together and then went on their separate ways, and life has brought them back together again. And now they've, you know, formed a company. Well, it's just incredible the way it's growing. So this is going to be a lesson for a lot of you out there to learn about how no matter where your journey starts off, okay, you never give up, because where you're going to end up is not to be known yet. So you got to stay on the path to get there. And I just want to welcome Holly and Marlon to the show today.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for having us on.
Hi, Tony.
Thanks for being here. And Holly, it's Holly Thompson and Marlon Daniels. I want to make sure they get the names out there. Okay, and you're going to hear more of these names on a weekly basis through the Tough Talk Radio Network. But today, what I want to do is allow people to find out about Holly and Marlon. So, Holly, I want to start with you because you're a lot prettier than Marlon, and we always let the ladies go first. And you can tell folks one of the things I really like about them is they're so like-minded in a lot of things that you're going to hear them say today than things that I say weekly. So, Holly, tell us where you're from and where you're calling in from today.
I'm from the Houston area. I was actually born in Midland, Texas, but grew up in Houston. It was a great time during the oil boom. Of course, my dad was in oil, which was what moved us here. And today I live in the gorgeous city of Sugar Land, Texas, right outside of Houston.
And Marlon, tell us where you're from originally.
I was born in Dallas, Texas, but moved to Houston, gosh, back in 1975, so I'm kind of dating myself. Moved here with my family and just have been here ever since, went to college essentially in Houston, and I've set up shop and have been working in different industries, primarily in sales, for all of my career. So I'm here in Houston and loving it.
Okay, so I mentioned in the beginning that you guys know each other from high school. And
yeah.
I found this fascinating, okay, because, well, I don't live in the area where I grew up, but I do stay in touch with some of the people that I went to high school with through social media, and it's only around the holidays that I guess that we remember to connect with each other. But you guys have circled back around, and I want to get to that circle back around part, but Holly, I know that you graduated high school and went to Harvard. Is that correct?
Well, actually, I graduated from Stratford High School over in the Memorial area in Houston, and I actually started working and had a family before I finished college. I finished up at the University of Texas, and I'm currently working on a master's at Harvard.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
whenever I hear
work.
The word Harvard,
yeah,
I'm thinking very smart, brainiac-type person. But, you know, I'm around you a lot of times. I never feel intimidated about any of that. I just never felt intimidated. I didn't even know that you were in college now going to Harvard. So that's very impressive. Marlon, when you were lucky enough to bump back into Holly again, you were, I think, if I remember correctly, you were in pharmaceutical sales, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
And when I sat down with you one time and you were telling me about that, you told me a story about your first visit to a doctor's office. And I want to talk about this because I want people to know out there that the struggles that they run into on a daily basis are not really that bad of a struggle. They're just kind of learning tools that we don't recognize because we're kind of feeling sorry for ourselves. But you ran into a story where you were visiting a doctor's office. And tell us a short piece of that there, because what you got out of it made the difference in your career and your path, I think.
Yeah, and yes, I was in pharmaceutical sales, and actually that was my first pharmaceutical sales job. And yeah, just, you know, you're in a new industry, and like I told you, it was kind of like learning a new language, not only from a medical standpoint, but just from an industry standpoint, and the ins and outs and what to do and things like that. And, walking into the office, and I was basically told to have a seat, sat in a chair for a couple hours and watched a gentleman, another pharmaceutical sales rep, walk in. And I was dressed down, very relaxed. I didn't want to be intimidating. And he walked in very dressed up and just dressed to the T in a suit and polished and looked great. And they said, come on in, after I'd been sitting there for about 2 hours. So it was just one of those lifelong lessons where, you know, do what the successful do. And I went back and bought suits and shoes and looked my best and became a very successful pharmaceutical rep. So very, very good lesson learned there.
Now, Holly, you took a different path, okay, because I believe that you started a company called Thompson Wealth Management.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Okay.
I was working for a boutique financial firm in the Galleria area in Houston, and I had the opportunity to move out of town towards the coast for a few years. And so when I left the company, I had quite a few of my clients from there ask if I would manage maybe their children's smaller investment accounts because, you know, as most people know, most of the big firms or institutions, there's a minimum amount of money you need to start with them. And so I just took on anybody's account, no matter what the size was. I took on friends from school I went to school with and their accounts, and I just grew from there. It was word of mouth. And so that has worked really well for me. I still manage Thompson Wealth Management. I'm a financial planner and an investment analyst. I do a lot of research work now for other companies and for during earnings season.
So you guys developed a company, created a company, not developed, MoneyFacts. And people can find it by going to money-facts.com. Okay,
correct.
And learn more about it, because there's a bunch of information there. But how did that come about? I mean, Marlon, you were in, and I'm going to bring this story up because my whole point today, the word of the week was opportunity, and it's about doing for others. And, you know, Marlon, I really learned a lot about you when I sat down and chatted with you, and I look forward to doing that with Holly. I just have to get in the long list because everybody wants to sit down with Holly. The story that you told me about how you guys connected was the field that you were in, you wanted to help them because of your husband, Holly, at the time was suffering from diabetes, I think it was, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you were providing some of what you do to help Holly, because you guys were friends prior to that, and that just kind of worked out where you were just doing so many things to help them, and unfortunately his life ended at that time. But you guys then down the road connected to create another company, MoneyFacts. So,
right.
I mean, how does that even work? Holly,
yeah,
wanna...
well,
okay.
Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah, I'll kind of continue the story. So I was a pharmaceutical sales rep, as I had mentioned, and my specialty was diabetes. And through the wonders of social media today, through LinkedIn, we actually, you know, through essentially a social media network, we connected and, you know, started communicating, and I found out more about Holly and what she's doing as far as from a business standpoint. We connected because we knew each other from high school, so we talked about that. But we had in common the diabetes piece because of her husband, who did finally succumb to his battle with diabetes, which is a, you know, terrible disease. And so the commonality was, yeah, I mean, I did everything I could to try to feed her information and help and do anything I could. You know, being friends and being in sales, and I had a lot to offer as far as information. You know, and it wasn't something that could help. But through our, you know, continued communication and just going through that, we started later, started talking business and started MoneyFacts.com. Holly is very smart. You mentioned our. And just had a lot of great business ideas. She already had, she was working with Thompson Wealth Management, which is her own company, as a financial analyst, and she was doing a great job at it and wanted to continue on with MoneyFacts, giving just, you know, all the stuff that she has in her brain, essentially, you know, the people ask. There's anything from money advice to money news to 401ks to, you know, how to take a low-cost vacation, things like that. She wanted to put just in a free resource for everyone to use, and that's kind of how we started MoneyFacts and went from there.
Okay, so what really attracts me to you guys? I guess that kind of sounds weird, but it really does. I mean, you guys are, when you look at the website, it's all about helping other people with solid information and all types of things like that. Holly, when you started doing this wealth management program with others, helping people with their money, did the MoneyFacts idea, was that part of your long-term plan? Was that something that just developed? I mean, how did that come about that you guys decided to join forces like that? What was the benefit in it for you?
Well, actually, last year I was looking to expand Thompson Wealth Management. I was going to expand the research department because I really enjoyed that. It actually came down to one story. I have a part-time in time back last year, and she had two part-time jobs. She went to U of H full-time, and she had a nine-month-old puppy that she was her family. That was her baby. One day, the puppy got sick, and as anyone does who is on a very tight budget every month, living paycheck to paycheck, she didn't take him to the vet right away. She waited a few days, and then it turned out one evening she knew she had to take him to the emergency vet. Well, by the time she got there, it was too late, and she had to put him down. It was heartbreaking. It was hard on all of us, and it was so sad. But now, not only was her budget blown for the month because she had to pay for an after-hours vet and to pay to have this dog put down, she now had to learn how to get out of that hole because her budget was blown. How do you get past owing money to, you know, everybody? How do you start to save again? And I realized at that moment, a lot of what I do every day, I talk to friends, clients, family, anybody I meet in the store, and they always ask money questions, simple money questions about, you know, how do I know if my 401k is doing the right thing for me? How do I know if my advisor is doing the right thing for me? You know, how did you get out of a hole? Because at one time, I did live in my car. Long time ago, a lot of people don't know that story. And it can be done. It takes a lot of perseverance. And you have to be brave and you have to be bold. But at that time, I realized after this story happened with this puppy, we needed to put that information out there for everybody to have. A lot of it is common sense, but then in our lives every day, we are so busy. Sometimes we need it right there in front of us just to remind us how to get through something.
You know, you made a point that it's pretty simple common sense stuff, and I find that the most common sense stuff is the hardest stuff to deal with because it's too easy. I mean, we think that it should be complicated to be able to succeed, and sometimes it's just so simple, it's almost, you miss it. So,
right.
You take people and show them the value of their money, okay? I mean, we're all, I don't know if there's many people out here listening to the show that don't struggle with maybe having more month than money, or maybe more money than month. And sometimes one is just as bad as the other because if you have more money than month and you're not doing something smart with it, eventually you're going to end up with more month than money. So how do you sit down with someone and show them how to move forward? Is it a long-term thing? Is it a simple plan? Is there just a template that they can follow? How does that work, Holly?
Well, when I sit down with people, we have different types of financial plans, depending on, of course, where someone is in their life. But the first thing you do is you have to do a budget. You have to pull out all of those bills, go over every expense you have during the month. Then you have to budget the things that you don't think about, dry cleaning, Starbucks. Starbucks is budgeted into my account because I love it so much. You have to put everything you would spend money on, polls. If you're going to buy, you know, a pack of gum when you stop to get gas at the store, you need to budget everything so you know realistically how much money you have at the end of the month. Then, of course, you never deny yourself. You have to enjoy life. You can't just go through life working and saving because that's not happy. And so you have to take part of what you have left, hopefully you have something left, and put it towards something that makes you happy that month, to live life. And then...
Just that simple, huh?
Well, that's the basic. That's how you start. Now, what is not simple is sticking to it.
Right.
We all have trouble. We all like to spend.
And one of the things that people, I'm going to use myself as an example. I always say, well, man, I can't afford to do that. And so do you hear that a lot as a response? You know,
we have a lot of people who say they just don't have anything to spend. anything to save at the end of the month. And so you really have to look at your expenses. And always in the beginning, it is hard and it is a challenge to stay on budget, especially in this world when there's so much out there being offered that's fun or new. It's very hard to stay on budget. But in the beginning, you have to stay on budget. You can't have – there's really not any wiggle room. And so if you want to save, you have to learn to stay on budget.
Yeah, it's hard. But if it was easy, no one would be having the problem, right? So it's important that they find out. How I tell the people the Thompson Wealth website so they can find you, because – Go ahead.
Okay, it is TWMtoday.com. That stands for Thompson Wealth Management Today, TODAY.com. And if you want to reach me by email, it's Holly, H-O-L-L-Y, at TWMtoday.com.
So TWMtoday.com.
Yes.
And they can email you, say it again.
It's just my first name, Holly, H-O-L-L-Y. At TWMtoday.com.
Okay, very good. And Mr. Marlin, I want to know, we see that Holly is the one with the wealth knowledge. Let's talk about what you I know the answer to this, but tell the people what you're bringing to the table, because your background is not only just sales. We didn't even dig into that, but you know, time is limited on the clock today. So, tell them what you bring to the money facts.
Well, Holly spends the money. My job is to make the money. So my background is sales, and I've had an extensive sales and sales management background, and have done startups and launches and things like that. And this project is pretty amazing, I'll be honest with you. And when I talk about my journey, I mean, this is a big, big part of my journey and a place that I love being. So Holly, being a part of Thompson Wealth Management, the financial piece, and we offer through moneyhack.com essentially just a free platform for people to go to learn, all about their finances and tips and things like that. But, one of the things we realized was with moneyfacts.com, we have to make money, and that's essentially what my task is. So how do we monetize it? How do we finance our venture? And essentially it's through advertising. And when we first got into this, we thought, hey, no problem, easy. We can start offering banners on the website and offering ebooks and just, things that that our readers would, actually want and could use, for their personal, finances or whatever. But after that, we kind of learned, you can't just offer banner space on a website. Everybody's doing it. It's digitized now. Advertising is a whole different business, with all the mediums that are out there and things that are available to everyone. Tony, going to your network meetings and really selling and telling our story, I came to the realization that we needed to do what we did best. Holly needs to, really talking about money facts, she needs to talk about, the wealth management and the financial side, because that's what she does, and she's great at it. And she can really build that piece of the business. And then also on the advertising side, we created what's called Money Facts Media. Money Facts Media is an extension of moneyfacts.com to where we can actually not only offer space on moneyfacts.com, we can actually partner with different media networks around the country, no matter what platform, and we can offer advertising not only on our platform through moneyfacts.com, but through some of our partners. And one of the other things that I found out talking to business owners and what their needs are was, Marlon, we need somebody that can tell our story, that can get our products and services or our message out there to a lot of people. And you basically go where the customers want you to go. So we set up that piece of the business, and sure enough, we've got some good feedback and some potential business coming in the door. So Money Facts Media is going to be a big part of the piece of the puzzle along with Thompson Wealth Management, and that way, you know, we can also offer, you know, the free advice through moneyfacts.com and the free content and things like that. That's kind of what I bring to the table. Hopefully that's not too complex, but that's kind of how our business model is set up right now. That's what I do.
Okay. Well, hey, guys, we're out of time. This is just the beginning of a weekly show that you guys are going to be doing every Wednesday at noon starting in June. MoneyFactsRadio.com is where you can find out more. You guys are going to be on. I know Holly's going to be on a show on Monday, Selling in the Skirt with Judy Hoberman, on another show here. If you're out there listening, make sure to go to MoneyFactsRadio.com, Money-Facts.com. Learn more about Holly and Marlon because, well, they're the upcoming stars of Tough Talk Radio Network. I really appreciate you guys' time today and what you're doing. They're going to be in the compilation book. So in the last 3 months, they became famous on the radio, author, and, you know, I'm just excited that I've had the opportunity to be a part of this with them because I'm learning tons. Thank you so much for being on the show today, guys.
Thanks, Tony.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. Have a great day.
All right. You too. Folks, that's our show for today. We're out of time, so I'm just pushing the button and say tune in next Wednesday, 10:30 Central Standard Time to Workshop Wednesday. Have a blessed day.
This has been another edition of Workshop Wednesdays, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.